I know what I know. I believe what I believe. And I make no apology. That is really very true and very meaningful. Yes, because when we think of who Jesus is and what he has done, why should we apologize? And he loved us with such an everlasting love. And what we're simply doing is loving him in return. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Sabbath, everyone. No, that sounds more encouraging. We have been blessed with a very rich service so far this morning. You know, the Lord is just sending more gifts upon us after all the gifts he gave us this year. You realize you are almost at the end of 2024. 2024 is almost gone. And the Lord has seen us thus far. So we have a whole lot to give God thanks for. Amen. I welcome each of you here today and pray that the Spirit of the Lord will continue to move in your hearts. And that before we leave here, each of us will make a full and complete surrender to God. What do you say? Amen. 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 Thank God for all the ministry opportunities, you know, and, you know, reaching out to those in the shelter, you know, a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, and then tomorrow again. That's a true beauty. We continue to lift up the name of Jesus, and we pray that everyone will get on board in every way we can and spread the light and love of Jesus in practical ways. Amen? There are people all around us who need to hear about Jesus, who need to experience Jesus. And you and I are God's agents to spread the word around. Today we are talking about God's indescribable gift. You know, and CJ used another word for us. What word did CJ use for that? Unthinkable gift. And he used still another word, if you are listening. Unspeakable gift. They're all correct terms. All correct terms. Amen. I decide to use gig. We're in for a good gig. God's indescribable gift. You know, people say they have a side gig and they have a good gig and it's bringing them some money. This is the real gig. God's indescribable gift. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, if we look back just over the past week of 7 days and now the Sabbath, we can trace your hand of mercy, your hand of provision and supplying all our needs, physically, mentally, academically, socially, emotionally, financially, spiritually, and in every way, Lord, you have been there for us. If we go back over the month of December so far, over this quarter, Lord, or over the second half of the year, or over this full year, we can see countless mercies that we received from you. You are the giver that never stops giving, and we honor you and praise you today with our lives, with our obedience, with our love, with our substance. And we ask, Lord, that right now we will worship you in spirit and in truth. Speak to us from your words. Forgive our sins. Make us whole. And Lord, may we love you with all that we have and obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God's indescribable gift. You know, God sent heaven's best gift wrapped in human flesh. That's who Jesus was. He was God folded up into a little bundle of humanity. Like us, Jesus was born of a woman, progressed through infancy, childhood, youth, and young adulthood. Jesus grew into a mighty man among men, a man of valor. Jesus was a man of prayer, a man of moral stamina. Jesus was a man of God. Not only that, Jesus was God. He was born without the will of the flesh, and he died and rose again for us. Jesus Christ is God's indescribable gift. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the great God of heaven. He is my Lord and my God. Jesus Christ is the creator who made heaven and earth and the entire universe. And so today, let us worship him as he deserves. What do you say? God is awesome, dreadful, and full of power. He is our almighty Savior. He's the one who makes a saint out of a sinner. He is the one who transformed lives from being materially driven to being Christ-centered. He is the giver and the gift that never stops giving. So today, we pause and say, thank you, Lord God Almighty, the Ancient of Days and Eternal Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, the Eternal Comforter. Thank you, Jesus, Lord of Angel Armies and the Eternal God. Thank you for everything. Thank you, God, for the ministry of your holy angels. We present our thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. What do you say? Amen and amen again. Now, the title of my sermon today is God's Indescribable Gift. Let us take a closer look at this. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. This is a New King James Version. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God. That's where I got my sermon topic from. Now, I want the whole world to know that Jesus is God's indescribable gift. So through the agency of God's spoken word, may each of you be transported into the very presence of Almighty God right now. And while you are in God's presence, may God transform you by his love, his righteousness, his grace, his mercy, his truth. May each person hearing my voice or the recording of it open up your heart to God even now. Pour out your love, your praise, your appreciation, your obedience, and thanksgiving to God. All things you have are benefits you received from him. What do you say? Everything. God is the greatest giver and the greatest gift to humanity. God is the giver and the gift that never stops giving. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. We heard that in Sabbath school. We heard that in song service. And we're hearing it in the sermon today. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He is God's indescribable gift. So I'm happy to join you today and celebrate the gift that never stops giving. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And you know, we need wisdom to process this properly. The Christmas season is here. The poinsettias are put out. The Christmas trees go up. The Christmas lights are well lit. And the world is making big bucks with tremendous marketing skills. But in all of this, where is Jesus? Many people are looking forward to their Christmas gift, wrapped in special packages, left under the Christmas tree. But in all of this, where is Jesus? He is the greatest gift the world has ever seen. Jesus, God's indescribable gift. Now, Proverbs 4, verses 4 through to 7 says, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. Actually, this is James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And in Matthew 5 and verse 3, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of God. This is talking about humility. Amen. Humility. But some people are so proud of poverty that they make poverty seem like it is a virtue. It is not. But I'm happy that whether rich or poor, we can still choose to be godly and to be virtuous. What do you say? Amen. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, Yahweh, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then in that section in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that precede the scripture reading verse, it says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures for how long? Forever. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God wants to increase the fruit of your righteousness. And increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. When last have you prayed for an increase in the fruits of your righteousness? Something to think about. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through to 4, Paul says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, what did he do? Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What a testimony about God. For about 4,000 years, God spoke to his people through the ministry of his holy prophets. But according to Hebrews 1 and verse 2, God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And I want to say to you today, Jesus Christ is all heaven's treasury poured out to humanity in a single vessel. Amen. Now, God originally created humanity by the prototype of the red man Adam and his beautiful wife Eve. He gave them the first dominion and rulership over earth and everything on earth. He gave them the joyful task of caring for their beautiful garden home of the Garden of Eden. He gave them all that heart could desire, including what we today call exotic fruits. They followed a completely whole food, plant-based vegan diet, and their food was 100% organic. God gave them the gift of marriage from day one. Same day they were made, same day they were married, on Friday. God told them to go ahead and populate the whole world through a monogamous, lifelong, heterosexual marriage relationship, the only place where marriage is holy and the bed undefiled. From that time of Adam and Eve up until now, God has been giving his love, his grace, his truth, his mercy, righteousness, spiritual gifts, talents of life, free oxygen and air, free supply of water for the whole earth. His bountiful provisions, His protection, and the very companionship of His presence. But God saved the best for last. In the fullness of time, we were blessed with God's indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. He was given to humanity. He is the gift that never stops giving. And by the way, let me pause on this one. He was given to humanity. Of all the things I have read, that's the one that puzzles me most. Jesus will retain His humanity forever. He was never a human being before. He was Almighty God. And in coming to save us, He took our form of humanity. And we are told that for all eternity, He will retain that humanity part of Himself. I think this should cause us to think very deeply, truly, how much God really loves us. It's like you have a herd of goat, and in order to save your goats, you took on a goat nature. And for the rest of your life, you move around like a goat. And, you know, how many of us here would be willing to do that? And that's not even a good comparison, because we are finite. God is the infinite one. He was always there from eternity past. We can't even conceive these things. Humanity, this world is only 6,000 years old. God was there from eternity. And 6,000 years ago, He made this world and made us. And yet, He chose to take on a form that is only 6,000 years old. And will retain that form for all eternity. Now, that is self-sacrificing love. He did it to save us. But who am I? I can't know what's best. God does know what's best. Amen? But I know if you and I were God, we would go back to our God form after saving man. But Jesus determined. Jesus decided He's going to maintain that form forever. I tell you, that's very humbling. When we think about that, we should truly humble ourselves before God. And like Moses, take off the shoes from our feet. Because the ground on which we stand is holy ground. In the fullness of time, we were blessed with God's indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. He was given to humanity. He is the gift that never stops giving. So you should have lips that never stops praising. Amen. He's a gift that never stops giving. So you should have lips that never stop praising. In the fullness of time, God folded up Himself into a little bundle of humanity named Jesus. Before this, He was the King of Kings in heaven. Yet He was born in an animal feeding trough. We come up with a nice name. He was born in a manger. What's a manger? He was born in an animal feeding trough, an animal feeding tray. That's where He was born. And so Jesus can identify with the rich because He was a King of heaven. And He can also identify with life's humblest and the most humiliating circumstances of the poor. He can identify with all. I want to remind you today that ready or not, our Jesus Christ is coming. He's on the way. You see, God became human to save us, sinful humans, from our sins. Amen. That was the only way Jesus Christ, that's the only way God could save us from our sins. And that is to become one of us. He did that for us. Yes, that's the only way He could pay the price of our sins. Which price is death? He died for us. You already know what is stated in Hebrews 9 and verse 22. It says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. and without shedding of blood there is no remission. For us to receive the forgiveness of even one sin, there must be bloodshed. And Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, and then in verse 50 to 51, it says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. But you know, then came resurrection morning. Amen. Jesus arose from the grave in mighty triumph over death and the grave. And he asked the question found in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And then in verses 52 through to 54 of Matthew 27, it says, and the graves were opened. The graves were opened. Somebody should say amen. Have you had a loved one who went down to that cold grave? The graves are opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming up out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And friends, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God's indescribable gift. Now, 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus went back to heaven permanently. And then 10 days after this, the Holy Spirit came down to earth permanently to take over right where Jesus left off. Now the question to you is, where is Jesus Christ? Why hasn't he come back as yet? Do we just die and go to him in heaven? Is that what the Bible teaches? In Hebrews chapter 8 verses 1 and 2, the word of God tells us, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not men. When Jesus finishes his high priestly work there in the heavenly sanctuary, according to Revelation 16 and verse 17, quote, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Then Revelation 8 and verse 1 will be fulfilled. Quote, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. I wonder why there was silence in heaven. Because it's empty. It's empty. That's why it's silent. And by the way, for you mathematicians out there, 1 hour of prophetic time works out to about 15 days. So I wonder what half an hour would work out to. Just over 7 days. In every 7 days, what great celebration occurs? The Holy Sabbath. Well, if you don't believe, I do, that Ellen White was a prophet of God. And she says we were 7 days ascending to the city of God. That means on our way to the city of God, we'll keep a Sabbath on the way. And what a Sabbath it will be to literally be at the feet of Jesus. Literally seeing him and keeping your Sabbath holy in his literal physical presence. So Joan, your great, great, great grandmother, who was a very firm Methodist, never got the light of the Sabbath and died a Methodist, sweet in Jesus. Your great, great grandmother will enjoy a Sabbath even before entering heaven. Because all the believers from Adam and Eve and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons are children of Jacob and Levi, the 13th one, and his daughters, and all this faithful throughout the ages, we will meet up in the air, Paul says. Because 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 says, continuing about the silence in heaven, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a... Have you ever heard a silent shout yet? Which of you have heard a secret shout? It says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's why a man like Luke is not afraid to say his time is winding down on earth. We know after we get to a certain age, we're going to die. I don't matter how handsome you look, CJ, or how beautiful any of the ladies here look, we're going to die. That's just the destiny. And a true believer is not fearful of death, because we know who is the resurrection and the life. Amen? And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as our time winds down on earth, let us make our calling and election sure. How many of you chose to be born into this world? You had no choice in that matter. You just came. But if you must be born again, whose choice is it? Your choice and mine, because Jesus Christ has made every provision that we become born again. Now, so there are three important things in life. One is to be born into this world. Two is to be born again. And three is to die right. You could summarize life that way, real simply. Praise God, we're already here. We've been born into this world. And I suspect most, if not all of us here, we've been born again. Now, the third important step is to make sure we die right. We just baptized one family at Vestal Church. And the oldest daughter, she requested baptism this week. Her boyfriend was out this Sunday, working very hard, stacking firewood onto a vehicle for a big campfire. He and his boss were working together. Some guy was obviously speeding. The report is that the sun was shining in his eyes so brightly he couldn't see. Took out both of them. He was only 20 years old. Killed while working. And we learned that his boss also died, succumbed of his injuries. We never know when our moment will come. At 20, well, his no past girlfriend, she told me they were planning their future together. Thinking about marriage and talking about that and raising a family, etc. And at 20, he's gone just like that. Out working on the first day of the week, a Sunday morning, doing what is right. Died while working. To be born into this world, to be born again, and to die right. These are the three important things. So my question to you today, as I wrap up, how should any thinking human being respond to God's indescribable gift? 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 says, So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, 12 through to 15 says, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now you've heard this most of the time, that God loves a cheerful giver, with regards to how you return your tithes and give your free will offering. That is good, and it's the end of the year now, and you should look back where you have slacked off and not return your faithful tithe and offering. And you should go to God and say, Lord, I am sorry. I want to make amends. And return your faithful tithes and offerings. But remember, God doesn't need money. That's a system God uses down here to further his work. We don't use that currency up there. But more than tithe and offering, God loves a cheerful giver that gives their whole heart to him. Wholehearted surrender. When the heart is fully surrendered to God, tithes and offering become a very easy thing, because we realize who the giver of all things is. When we look at God's indescribable gift to us, we realize that God gave all. He held nothing back. And when Jesus, God's indescribable gift, had to go permanently back to heaven, Jesus in turn sends the best gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit himself, third power of the Godhead. And he's so humble that he's in this room right now and he doesn't draw attention to himself. He's always pointing us to Christ the Savior. And the Holy Spirit is right here right now. He's invisible to our naked eyes, but he's as God as Jesus is God. He's as God as the Father is God. And he's here among us today. What is your response to God's indescribable gift? Now it's customary at the end of the service that we stand and we sing a hymn of commitment, a hymn of response. I'm inviting you to stand today only as you are making a commitment that based on God's indescribable gift of Jesus Christ to you and to us as a human family, you are saying, Jesus, I'm giving my life fully to you now and to your service. I'm giving my resources, every dime of it, financial resources. I'm pledging everything to you, God, that I'll use 100% of what I earn to your glory, and I faithfully return your 10% in tithe and a free will offering to you. But above that, you're saying, Lord, I give myself to you. You gave your life for me. You're saying, Lord, I'm fully consecrated to you. If this is your decision, heaven is watching, heaven is listening, I invite you to stand. And we have this hymn of commitment, 121. When we get to know God, as it is our privilege to know him, we will tell others about him. Come right up. We will tell others about him. Thank you. thank you, God, and our Father in heaven, the one eternal God. Thank you for your great, indescribable gift to us, the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the year 2024. Thank you, Lord, that you are there for us every step of the way thus far. You have given us life, liberty. You have given the peace of God that surpasses human understanding. Holy Spirit, you have spread abroad the love of God in our hearts. And you have given us your presence, your companionship. You've walked with us over this whole way. As we go forward, Lord, for the rest of this high, happy, and holy Sabbath, we ask Jesus that we will go with you. We'll walk with you. We'll give her all to you. Bless every person in this congregation today. Bless those who are absent, Lord. Bring us all into unity with yourself. Bring us into that special atonement. Help us, Jesus, to benefit from your high priestly ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. Holy Spirit, you came down here to earth to teach us all truth, to convict us of righteousness and of judgment. And Lord, you've come to call us out of sin into the marvelous light of your gospel. Please forgive us now. Please wash us now, Lord. And I ask for your healing blessings upon all those in this congregation that need your healing. Physical healing, emotional healing, financial healing, social healing, spiritual healing. Send your healing blessings upon us, God. Make us whole, and may we go from this place rejoicing that we have Jesus, God's indescribable gift, and we have the Holy Spirit also, who has come to teach us all truth. Lead us, O God, and guide us, and may we go and invite others to come and meet you. And Jesus, may you bless us throughout the rest of the Sabbath. Bless our efforts tomorrow as we have, Lord, this Christmas ministry, Lord, to the people in the shelter and others. May your Spirit bless and benefit all. And may each of us, our eyes be open to know that Jesus, you're the great giver that never stops giving. And as we turn our lives to you, we should always be praising you. And Lord Jesus, when time on this earth is no more, may each of us here be a part of that group that will be going home to live with God forever. Keep us faithful all the days of our lives. And may we, Lord, be in the first resurrection, or at least, Lord, may we be translated to heaven without ever dying. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.